There seems to be some confusion about what the workers were exposed to. Now, was it the drums of radioactive material in the DDT from 1980, or was it acid sulphate soil?
We don't know at this stage. What we do know is from the tests we've done, it's not radioactive. It's not for a pesticide, a hydrocarbon, a biphenyl, or it's metals above the guidelines. And it did test positive to acid sulphate soil potential. So we've got teams now coming in to do further testings, and they're doing a much more broader range of testing, and it's a process of elimination that we've got to go through till we identify what it is.
Okay, if it's the case that they weren't exposed to that site from 1980, do you know where the site is, where that material from 1980 has been buried?
We've got records and survey records of where the material was buried, and then what we've done as part of the development of the project for Herons Creek, the Stills Road, we've done a series of investigations bringing external consultants in. We did it as part of the development phase, and then the contractor had to do it as well, and material was uncovered, it was tested, found that it met the criteria, and then most of it was then taken to the landfill facilities. And so there is a little bit of material that's been classified as inert that's still on site in a secure area. But the majority from what our investigations show, it was taken to a landfill site. What today's about is that we're looking at our material records on the project, and there's a cutting, what we know as cut four, where some topsoil, which was taken from the top, was excess for the project, but was taken from the top of the cutting and then delivered to a number of private property owners. So as a precautionary measure, what we're doing now is going out and testing that material to make sure it was right.
Why is it that in the environmental impact statement for the upgrade, it states that there is uncertainty about where the containers have been buried?
Well, when you say containers, we haven't been able to identify any containers in our investigations right through, right? What we do know is from the information going back to the records, is that the radioactive containers were taken, salvaged and taken north. And what we've done as part of our investigations here, for example, in terms of radioactivity, and we've had a range of people, experts come in, we can't identify any radioactive material on the site. So they've scanned the project and they can't identify anything. So that gives us a pretty good confidence that it's clear of that.
What were the symptoms of the workers who were affected 3 weeks ago?
They had a bit of nausea, there was a little bit of vomiting with a couple and that. So they were then taken to doctors and the hospital, and they've been given the all clear. So they were the symptoms that they were. And obviously we're watching our workers and making sure that if any other thing appears, then we'll do checkups. And what we've done is put some of these exclusion zones around these particular areas on the site. And that's very important till we understand what it is.
Is those symptoms, is that common for exposure to acid sulphate?
Not to my knowledge. Acid sulphate soil, the one that I'm used to, I'm talking about personally here, is the one where when it is exposed to air and it forms an acid and then it leaches down into the water systems, it has an impact upon the water systems, and that's very important. This issue about humans, that's one of those things that we are checking out as part of it.
I mean, it seems a little strange for all these workers to have the same symptoms from this particular area.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons. Now, we understand the symptoms. What we need to do is find out what it is, and that's what this further range of testing that we're doing.
Can I ask you why this wasn't made public until it hit the media a week ago?
In terms of that, what had happened is that we had the workers there. We thought, you know, there might have been certain things there, and it was only then that as we started to sort of find there was quite a few workers that are affected, we thought, hey, we need to sort of have a look at it in more detail. And it's then that it became public from there.
Don't the public have an obligation to know what they are potentially being exposed to when they're driving on the highway?
The answer is yes, they do need to. The question we've got is we weren't clear in the early stages exactly what we were dealing with. And as we found there was a number of workers involved, we said, hey, there could be an issue here, therefore let's look at this more deeply.
Why is it so hard to locate the exact site of this previous spill, this 1980 spill? I mean, surely there'd be some sort of record-keeping system.
Well, we go back and we try and get the records and understand what's going on. There were some surveys of areas. The other thing you need to understand that there's been a lot of growth there in that time. There's a lot of growth, and even some of the comments that you look at in some of the records, it's been very rapid growth in that area. So finding that particular location can be difficult.
Well, then in terms of setting up an exclusion zone, how do you determine how large or small that should be?
What we've done is we've got a good indication where it is in terms of in relation to the cutting. So what we've done is got a 50-metre exclusion zone around that area so that it's sort of a comfortable distance away so that it's within that area.
50 metres, that doesn't seem particularly large given the uncertainty of the location.
We're pretty sure we're pretty sure where it is within the cutting, because we've done a series of investigations, and they're ones that have been released last week in terms of reports that have been done. What we're talking about is the exact location, but what we have it is we know where generally it is, right?
There are concerns that the practice of burying drums of toxic materials on the side of the road may have led to other instances apart from this case. Rob Oakeshott, the member for Lyons, says that since this incident came to light last week, he's been contacted by people with reports of similar accidents where drums were buried on the side of the road. He says there's one example where there is an actual site and location. What can you tell us about that?
My focus at the moment, because we've got an immediate issue here, what we do on this particular project, there's an investigation that's been set up by the New South Wales government to look into this and a range of other aspects with it, and no doubt that'll be one of many issues, I would think, that would be considered as part of that investigation.
And when do you expect the investigation to be concluded?
I'm not a party to that. We're sort of waiting for the final terms of reference associated with that, but my understanding is to be happen as quickly as it can. In terms of the timing, obviously, that's up to the person that's doing the investigations.
8:45 on ABC Mid-North Coast, and we're talking to Bob Higgins, who's the General Manager of the Pacific Highway. You've identified three properties where the RMS moved topsoil from the worksite. Now, what sorts of tests are you doing there?
We'll be doing similar sampling and testing as we're doing on the worksite, because we need to make sure that material is not contaminated as well. We're pretty sure it isn't, but it's one of those precautionary measures we need to close out these issues. So yesterday and the afternoon before, I've been in contact with the three owners involved, and we've talked about how we're going to go about it and what sort of sampling. And obviously, because it's on their property, we need to work out their particular individual concerns.
And how much soil are we talking about here?
What we find is on two of the properties, it's only a very minor amount. In terms of the larger property, there's up to over 40,000 cubic metres deposited on that. This was spoil, but that's over the whole site. But in terms of this individual cutting, it's somewhere about 4,000 or 5,000 cubic metres.
What happens to the property owners while testing is underway?
Well, what we've asked them to do is to sort of put a little bit of an exclusion zone around that particular area, and we've talked about that to them on an individual basis and working through that, and we'll help wherever it is necessary. Our intention, they're a priority for us, and so the idea is once we get the test results, we'll sit down and have a good talk to them and explain what the outcomes are.
How much of a setback has this been for the upgrade?
In terms of this individual project, it has slowed it, there's no doubt, because where this cutting is slowed down the rest of the works. There are activities still going on, because if you drive through there, we've got a bridge to the south, a couple of bridges, one at Pago Road, another one at Herons Creek, and there's activities down there. But we had works going on at Cuddy Creek in the same area, so it's slowed that activity, and we're trying to work through with our contractor what we can continue on the project to keep it going while we sort this issue out with regard to this individual cutting.
And those workers who did become sick 3 weeks ago, are they now back on the job?
They're back, we've been talking. Our contractor has been working with them, so as we have, and obviously we want to get on with the job as quickly as possible. They do too as well, but very importantly, we need to understand what it is first before we can work out how to treat it and continue work in this particular area.